gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a road.
Back, and now we're going to see if we remember how to do this.
Yeah, what is this place?
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, fresh off a four-day Thanksgiving weekend, and we are back, and we are ready to rock and ready to roll and ready to educate you and help you have a better life out there. All right, welcome to the show. As I said, I am Christopher Hart. Along with me today is Aubrey Kahn, Firm Foundation Home Inspections, also the co-host of our Sunday night version of the American Adversaries, the three-hour classic tour, we call it. And he also is the host of the Talk to the Experts show, which is every Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock, right?
That's right.
That's Aubrey Kahn. All right, we got Nicholas Cicero on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And certainly hope each and every one of you also had a great Thanksgiving weekend and are ready to re-engage the fight, as it were. And it's going to be, once again, you think the campaign was a lot of fun. Wait till Trump actually takes the oath of office. And he will. Don't let this recount business bug you too much. We'll talk about it a little bit during the show. We got a lot to talk about today. Abe Katzman is going to join us here shortly. And he's still in Seattle. And,
which is good, because Israel's on fire.
It literally is, thanks to some terrorists over there. And John Barros is going to join us a little bit later on in the show, too. Speaking of terrorists, we've had our own terrorist attack today. Happened this morning at Ohio State University. That's, of course, the home of the Ohio State Buckeyes, who, of course, their football team is one of the preeminent football programs in the country. Urban Meyer, the former coach at the Florida Gators, is now the head coach there. And this had nothing to do with the football team. This had to do with an 18-year-old Somali who was born in Somali and raised, came here to the United States, don't know when yet, presumably at some point in the investigation we will find out.
But he has a permanent residence visa.
A permanent residence visa, which is not a citizen visa. I mean, he's not a citizen.
It's a green card.
Exactly. And he's 18 years old. His name, I'm going to shorten it a little bit, but is Abdul Ali Rahan.
Oh, and it must have been Baptist?
Yeah, right. This was a terrorist attack. He drove his car onto a sidewalk and ran a few people over with his automobile and then jumped out with what is being described as a butcher knife and began hacking at people, cutting people. And a police officer who was responding to a separate call happened to be pretty much right there and pulled out his weapon and shot the individual dead. And at first there was reports that there were two attackers. It now appears as though it was just the lone attacker. And no reports yet, and I do emphasize the word yet, as to whether he was shouting, Allah Akbar. And so, but nonetheless, it was definitely a terrorist attack. And the Somalis have had sort of a special refugee status with us. They're not part, that I suppose some of them may be part of this latest influx of refugees, thanks to mm-hmm. Barack Obama, yep. Right? But the Somalis have been coming here pretty much since Danny McKnight was over there back in 1993.
Right. You got to remember, they don't have a government.
Right.
And
we've been taking in refugees from there ever since.
Well, and where do all the majority of the pirates come from?
Somalia. Yeah. And so these refugees coming into this country have been coming into this country for quite some time under administrations of both parties. So presumably Donald Trump will do something about this as he secures the border and not only looks at refugees coming, say, from Syria and Iraq, but also scrutinizes those coming from Somalia, too, which is a harbor, they harbor terrorists down there. Pirates, terrorists, whatever you want to call them. And
it'll just add to his racist label.
Right, yeah. So presumably we'll be finding out more about this guy, his motivations, and that sort of things, and he is, in fact, a terrorist. By the way, I just got this from Carl Jackson, and he pointed this out, too, that many of the left-wing news outlets were reporting him as a shooter long after it was known that he didn't use a gun.
Right.
See, this is the, we've been talking about this, all these people, if we only would do away with guns, we wouldn't have these terrorist attacks, these mass attacks. It's only by the grace of God that no one is dead yet. 9 people were taken to the hospital because
one is in critical condition.
One is in critical condition. The others are stable, but it's only by the grace of God. I mean, how many people did that guy kill over there in France with the big old truck driving down the road, swerving around?
Right.
Like I say, it's only by the grace of God that no one was killed there today, and it was definitely a terrorist attack, and a gun was not involved.
Well, of course, that in England, it's very difficult to get a permit for a handgun.
Yep.
All right? You can get guns for hunting and,
shotguns,
that kind of stuff. All right? And now England is looking at probably banning certain types of knives.
Yep.
So yeah. It's not the gun, it's not the knife, it's not the baseball bat, it's the person.
Exactly.
And for crying out loud, if only the liberals would pull their heads out of that dark room and see the light.
Is that what you call it in South Africa, dark
no,
room?
No, but I'm on radio.
We got a different saying for that down here in the South. But, yeah, we get the idea. But this definitely was a terrorist attack. The media is going to do the best they can now to sweep this under the rug. Watch and see. This is an old story now. He's dead. Let's just move on type thing. But no, we can't be moving on because this goes right to the heart of why Donald Trump was elected president and why he needs to follow through on his promise to seal the border, both, coming from wherever. Right. And as well as the southern border down there. So this is a multifaceted problem. And these type things are going to continue until we do get a handle on it. And hopefully that is coming. Speaking of Trump, the news today and kind of broke over the weekend, too, is this recount business. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, it's a much ado about nothing. The vote margins in those states, a recount is not going to make a difference. This is just, how many times have the Never Trumpers and whoever come along with another plan to thwart Donald Trump? I mean, they had him before the convention. They had him at the convention. They had all these plans that they were going to, as long as he doesn't get it on the first ballot, then we'll get rid of him. And then, of course, that became an impossibility. Oh, well, we'll get some of the delegates to defect. That's how we'll do it, right?
They're still trying that.
And they're still trying that. It's all the same business over again, and it's going to get the same result. He is Moby Dick, and they are the Ahabs. And if you ever saw the movie where, Mitchum or the big star who plays Ahab in the movie, at the end of the movie, he is tied to the whale, drowning as the whale swims off. Okay? Ahab is bad. Moby Dick is good. Moby Dick will win this battle, too. And Jill Stein just is trying to get her name in the newspaper as much as she can.
And to refill the coffers of the Green Party.
Right. And to try to somehow be relevant in a world that doesn't care about her.
Well, you got to remember, the Pennsylvania recount is not going to happen because the last day for filing
is passed.
Was the 21st of November.
Yeah. And by the way, Michigan, and we called Michigan the night of, and here finally everybody else is coming along behind us. And I wish you would go to our website, AmericanAdversaries.com, and listen to that election night coverage. Because I have to brag, we were on the ball.
Oh, yeah.
But we called Florida first. We were telling them, we were insulting the networks. You know, I think Steve Gushoff kept calling them disgraceful for not calling Pennsylvania for an hour after we knew it was going to be them.
Right, and we knew how many votes they'd won by.
And then finally the AP announces it, so we announce it on the air, but it's another 45 minutes to an hour before Fox and the rest of the networks announce it. Right. I mean, this was ridiculous. Well, finally today, what, 2-3 weeks now after we announced that Donald Trump won Michigan. They gave him Michigan and the 16 delegates, which put him at the 306, which that night I said it looks like he's going to get around 305, 307 delegates, right? And he gets 306. And that's it, all right? The next thing is going to be December 19th when the Electoral College gathers and meets and votes and makes the election results official.
Yep.
And that will happen, and barring a meteorite crushing the Earth, that will happen. And then on January the 20th, Donald Trump will be sworn in as the 45th president of the United States. And all these fools out there with their alternate plans are going to be thwarted and frustrated.
Well, a lot of the Electoral College delegates are getting emails threatening their lives.
Yep. Yeah, some of them are. And there's certainly a concerted effort to try to, shall we say, circumvent the normal procedure here and convince these people either by threatening them or coercing them or somehow getting them to change their vote. But it's not going to happen.
But that's the liberals' idea of fairness.
Well, you know, you got to admit, though, that some of the Republicans had the same notion, right?
Well, they're rhinos.
That's what I'm saying. They're Ahabs. They're Ahabs. He's Moby Dick. They still haven't gotten it yet, but they will. As I said, here in, 3 weeks, the 19th? Yeah, 3 weeks, the Electoral College will meet, and they will elect Donald Trump as the 45th president of the United States of America. Everybody's just going to have to get used to it. You know, just like we had to get used to Barack Obama, just like we had to get used to Bill Clinton, just like some of you out there had to get used to George W. Bush.
What was it that the liberals used to say? Obama won. Get over it.
Yes.
Then Obama won again. Get over it.
And
liberals, guess who won? Trump won. Get over it.
And elections indeed do have consequences. That's right. All right. And if we don't take breaks, there are consequences for us, too. Anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Abe Katzman will be joining us from Seattle. And we'll talk about the Trump picks so far, some interesting ones, a lot of speculation still about Secretary of State, and we'll be talking about those fires in Israel and some other things. So please stick around. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. Folks, please join me in welcoming our newest sponsor to the program, Patriot Home Funding Incorporated. John Siebert and Pierce Outlaw are the owners of Patriot Home Funding, and each has over 30 years' experience originating mortgages right here in Central Florida. They offer their customers the very best in service, experience, and expertise. Patriot Home Funding's motto is, "We say yes when the banks say no." They are known for routinely getting mortgages closed easier, faster, and with less cost than anybody else in the industry. If you are having trouble getting approved, getting the runaround from your lender, feel like you're paying too much, or just want the very best mortgage experts in Central Florida working to make your American dream come true, call the leading experts at Patriot Home Funding today. Patriot Home Funding is known for thinking outside the box and offering solutions, not excuses. Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida and is an equal housing lender. Call them at 877-377-8123, 877-377-8123.
877-377-8123 or visit them at myphf.com.
Patriot Home Funding Incorporated is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida, number NMLS 171699, and is an equal housing lender.
Folks, if you drive a Mercedes-Benz, then you need to know Jerry Shepard. Jerry and his wife, Jana, own and operate Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service, a state-of-the-art service center located on Econ Circle, just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. Because you drive a Mercedes-Benz, you obviously care about quality workmanship. That's what you get at Jerry's. Whether you need regular maintenance work or an emergency repair, Jerry's is the place to take your Mercedes. Jerry offers the best service at the best price. Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service is truly the dealership alternative. And if you're in the market to buy a pre-owned Mercedes, take it to Jerry's for a free evaluation. They'll look it over top to bottom and arm you with the info you'll need to get the best deal. So call Jerry's at 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Or visit them at jerrysmb.com. Remember, Jerry's is the dealership alternative, and they're also a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries radio show.
What's it like on I-4? We've got the answer. Traffic you can trust. Answer Traffic now.
It's a little bit heavier now on I-4 eastbound. You're heavy from John Young Parkway to Ivanhoe. Slow from Fairbanks up to Maitland, and still clear by the bridge, though. Westbound on the brakes from Ivanhoe to Michigan, John Young Parkway to the Turnpike is heavy and slow past World Drive still. Beachline eastbound from I-4 over to Universal Boulevard is heavy. 417 northbound, a crash past East Colonial seems to be off to the side. And typical delays eastbound on the 408. We got a new crash at Lake Underhill and Goldenrod. I'm Mick Dolan, FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
All right, the big music means it's time for the big man himself. And he's coming to us tonight once again from Seattle, Washington. That would be our own man, Abe Katzman. Abe, how you doing this evening? I'm sorry.
Great thing in the sky over here that I haven't seen for a few days.
I'm sorry, say that again. We only caught the tail end of it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said there's a strange, bright thing shining in the sky that I haven't seen for several days.
Yeah, it appears about 3 times.
Rain here.
It appears for about 3 weeks every year in Seattle.
Yep.
All right. Well, once again, thanks for being on the show with us today. And it's rainy there, but it's sort of the opposite in Israel. Can you tell us about these fires there and why we're hearing reports that they're the acts of terrorism?
Yeah, well, they're, look, they get forest fires there sometimes. And in fact, this year has been, usually there is rain by this time, but this year things have been kind of dry. But here there have been about 630 different fires. So the odds of all of those being spontaneous forest fires are kind of low. Also, these fires seem to be taking place only in Israel, not in Jordan, where the same thing is, they've got the same weather conditions over there. And in fact, they didn't even have the same conditions, they didn't even have fires for a while in the West Bank until these fires started spreading more rapidly. Suddenly in the West Bank, remarkably, always near Jewish towns, there were fires being set. So they believe that these are many, many arsons. They've arrested, it's tough to catch a lot of these people, but they've caught 35 people. 25 of them are West Bank Palestinians, and 10 of them are actually Israeli Arabs. And everybody's kind of looking at this as a form of terror, of nationalist arson terror. There have been a bunch of people injured, nobody killed so far, so that's good. But there's, there's the sense that these opponents of Israel would rather destroy the land than allow the Jews to live there in peace. By the way, I apologize for the noise. I'm standing outside today.
Oh, that's quite all right. We hear you just fine. Has there been any property damaged, or is this just, and you know, I have to admit that I'd never thought about Israel having, like, large forest area. Can you kind of describe that for us?
Yeah, well, look, Israel, the land there once upon a time was forested. I mean, back in the times of, you know, in biblical times, there were a lot of forested areas.
Okay.
Afterwards, everything was either logged off or chopped down or died for one reason or another. So you ended up with lots and lots of barren hillsides. But when the Jews started to resettle, one of the things they did is reforest a number of the areas, particularly in northern Israel. So there are big, they're forests. I mean, they, you know, it doesn't look like the Pacific Northwest, but it does look like parts of California, I'd
okay.
say.
Wow.
There have been, I mean, I don't know what the number of trees, you know, people have put in a lot of money into trying to reforest the area. I don't know how many trees have gone up, but there have been several hundred homes that were destroyed as a result of this.
All right. And certainly, if they're doing it there, chances are they're going to take that sort of thing on the road, maybe even bring it over here, right?
Well, you know, that's the tendency is what, you know, Israel is kind of the testing ground for terror very often, different types. And, you know, what starts there rarely ends there. So it wouldn't shock me if you start to see some kind of copycat activity.
All right. Speaking of terror and in that part of the world, it was revealed over the weekend that the Israeli Defense Force has killed four ISIS fighters in the Golan area. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, this started when some ISIS fighters started firing on Israeli troops that were operating in the Israeli area of the Golan. And there was a firefight. The ISIS people were using guns, were using mortars, and very quickly Israel called in an airstrike. And they had a direct hit right away. They killed four ISIS members, put a stop to this, and hopefully sent a pretty strong message, which is, you know, we might be leaving people alone in on the Syrian side of the Golan, but don't set up shop there. Don't engage with us. We've got enough to handle ourselves, and we are not going to let anything over here escalate. So now, what is possible? You know, you wonder why would they do it? Why would they
right.
start up with Israel?
Right.
Nobody knows. That's the truth. But it may be, you know, they're under a lot of pressure from a lot of different places. And it may be that one of the things they're trying to do is to kind of steer the attention of their own enemies toward Israel. In other words, if there's suddenly a fight going on with Israel, all of these people that have been attacking them may turn their attention to attacking Israel. So if they can turn all of the guns in Syria that are currently pointing at them toward the Israelis, that might save them. That's a possibility. It's a theory that's been floated, but we don't really know. We don't know if this is something that was ordered from above, that believed unlikely. It's believed that this was a decision that was made on the ground by local people. But it's a strange thing to see happen. But on the other hand, look, I think Israel handled it right. Put a stop to this right away.
Well, I think they handled it right, too, because actually the first thing that occurred to me was perhaps they were probing, that they wanted to see exactly what Israel would do if they launched an attack, minor though it could be in comparison. But it occurred to me that this might have been some sort of a probe action.
Yeah, I think that's possible, and it may be, if that's the case, that may actually mean that it was something that was engineered from higher up. That it's something that they wanted to see how Israel would react.
Yeah. Possibly a combination of that and, like you said, them trying to somehow bring Israel into the fight now.
Right, right.
Yeah, okay.
That's something, in fact, that the Syrians, at what the Assad government, tried to do a few times during times when there were when they were fighting against the rebels.
Okay. All right, Abe, if you'll hold it right there, we got to take a hard break. We will be right back, though, and Abe Katzman will be with us, coming to us now tonight from Seattle. We get back, we're going to talk about submarines. That's right, Israel and submarines. All right.
Oh! Hey, folks, I'm WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the American Adversaries, FM 105.5, and of course on AM at 660, The Answer. Let's get together and let's make America great again.
All right. Of course, Hacksaw was in the studio with us live last week, and that was always a hoot. All right. It is always a hoot, I should say. All right, welcome back to the show. Christopher Hart here along with Aubrey Kahn. We have Abe Katzman on the line with us. And, of course, you can read his great articles at his website, abekatzman, that's with an S, .com. Or you can go to our website or Facebook page where we link up there and post his articles there as well. Abe, we were talking before we went to the break about the attack, you know, by the ISIS people in Israel, in the Golan area. And real quick before we move on, are there any other signs that is any kind of build up by the Islamic State in Golan or in the Sinai?
No, they've actually been operating there quite a bit, both in the Sinai and in the Golan. I don't know if they're getting any stronger, any weaker. I mean, Egypt has been working hard in the Sinai to try to defeat them. But in terms of in the Golan, you got so many different groups. I don't know who's winning and who's losing.
Okay. When I talked about sub purchase there right before the break, during the break, Aubrey thought I was talking about sandwiches, but of course I wasn't. Can you explain to folks what I meant by that?
Israel, even though you don't think of them as being a naval power, actually has some naval capability. And one of the things they have is submarines. Now, there's a little bit of what may be a scandal and may not be a scandal. The press is certainly treating it as a scandal. Israel purchased a submarine from Germany. Actually, they've purchased several from Germany, but one in particular, they believe may have been arranged over the heads of the defense ministry by Prime Minister Netanyahu's lawyer and cousin, a guy named David Shimron, who also did work for an Israeli subsidiary of the German company that was selling Israel the submarines. So the idea is that somehow Shimron and Netanyahu pushed the Israeli Defense Ministry to order the submarine, even though it's possible that the Defense Ministry did not necessarily want it. It looks like there was an open tender, an auction, a bidding process that they put a stop to, that the Prime Minister may have put a stop to, which in itself looks a little bit bad if that's the case. But the reason they ended up buying this submarine in the end was because the Germans gave them a huge discount on it. So it's hard to say whether they put a stop to it just because they weren't going to get a better deal. They had this opportunity, and they knew it, and they took it. So they're trying to make hay out of this. Look, Netanyahu, in Israel, politics is very rough, and Netanyahu has his enemies. His enemies include the media, and the media is not above yellow journalism. So who knows what's actually going on. Netanyahu has survived alleged scandals before, and in fact, he's pretty good at it. This week, he became the longest-serving prime minister in terms of consecutive days in office that Israel has ever had.
Wow.
So that means that's more than David Ben-Gurion.
That's amazing.
So Israelis in general don't fully trust him, but they don't really trust any politician, and they seem to to continue to prefer that he be prime minister in spite of what the press is coming up with.
Right.
Who knows? There may be some bombshell email in there somewhere, and we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, indeed, there might be. Yeah, but I kind of get a feeling, you know, we were talking a little while ago about the fires over there, maybe a precursor of what we might see here. I wonder if this type story is a precursor of what Trump might see ahead in his future, right?
Well, I'll tell you, over there, you think that the left is unhinged over here? The leftist politicians there are so obsessed with him, with Netanyahu, and defeating him, that there are people claiming that Netanyahu encouraged these arsons, these forest fires, in order to distract the public from the submarine story. That's the way people think, and I think you're probably going to see something along those lines here. These types of accusations are probably going to be dogging the Trump administration for the next 4 years.
I do believe so. And, yeah, from what I can see from this sub story, I mean, it's not like this submarine was purchased from a company that Israel had never done business before. It was in a sort of a line of submarines that they were buying. And, indeed, I didn't know the part that you said, that they were given a super deal on it, so why not grab it while you can, or somebody else is going to get it, right?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. They got a deal from from Merkel herself, I think, made this offer to them.
All right. Let's talk about the Trump campaign for a few minutes here. Are you impressed so far with the picks that he has made, including his White House counsel and KT McFarland as a deputy national security advisor? And what do you think about who would you pick? Let me put it this way. Who would you pick for Secretary of State?
Well, my personal favorite doesn't seem to be in the running right now, and that would be John Bolton.
Yeah.
But between the people who are there, I would actually like to see Giuliani get it. And I'll tell you why.
I was going to say.
I think that it would actually be more consistent with the what the Trump administration is going to be projecting, both domestically and internationally. Giuliani is not there to be nice to everybody. Romney is a very nice guy, and that's to his credit. But that doesn't mean that you want somebody like that as Secretary of State. I think Trump actually wants somebody who's going to tell a lot of the nations of the world that there's a new sheriff in town, and business is not going to operate the same way it did for the past 8 years. And I think Giuliani is capable of doing that. I think we saw when he was mayor, his instincts when it comes to this are very good. I remember one story where there was some UN function that he was hosting, and Yasser Arafat showed up uninvited. And he immediately, without testing it with polls or focus groups or his advisors,
he threw him out, didn't he?
Ordered that he threw him out.
Yeah, he threw him out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got the gumption, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But what about David Petraeus, who's meeting with Trump today or did meet with him today?
Maybe. I don't know how. I don't know that we know what he would be like as a diplomat. Obviously, an incredibly competent man. But not just because somebody's a competent general or a brilliant general and a strategist and everything with the military. Doesn't necessarily mean, it's a good indicator, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they would that's a skill set that is perfectly transferable to the Secretary of State position.
All right.
So, look, he may be better than all of them, but I just don't think we know.
Yeah. Do you know anything about Donald McGahn, the fellow he's named as his White House counsel? Because that's a pretty key position to have. He's described as a libertarian. He's also described as a controversial former member of the Federal Election Commission. Seems like pretty decent credentials to me.
Those are good credentials.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about him beyond what's been in the paper, and that hasn't been all that much. But, I've got to say, so far these choices I find reassuring, and one of the reasons I find them reassuring is not just that they're kind of brave. These are not I would have been perfectly happy and reassured had there been what I guess I would call conventional Republican picks. People who are sane, people who are decent, people who have their heads on pretty straight. But these tend to be people with a little bit more of an edge, with who are willing to brawl a little bit.
Yeah,
that's been my sense so far, and that's actually kind of why I think that Rudy might have the edge when it comes to Secretary of State.
Good point. Good point. Of course, whoever he picks, their part of their problem is going to be immediately day one is this Iran nuclear deal. And so tell us what the Iranians are up to here lately. I'm sure it's no good.
Well, it never is. But remember, besides the nuclear deal, they've got all kinds of conventional capabilities also. And they're up to no good pretty much everywhere they are. And one of the things now, apparently their chief of staff has said that they are, I believe they are speaking or looking to implement or something along those lines, that they're looking to get naval bases in Yemen and Syria. Now, if you think about this, if you look at the map, especially Yemen controls access to the Red Sea.
Right.
That means the Suez Canal. It means Egypt. It means the entire Saudi coastline, which includes Mecca. That's where, Mecca is along that coast. And it would also mean a presence in the Mediterranean. What does Iran need a presence in the Mediterranean for? As it is, they already control access to the Persian Gulf. If they want to, they could clamp down on it because they're on one side of the Straits of Hormuz, which is the entrance to the Persian Gulf, and they are the power in the area. So if they want to, they could they could really clamp down on Persian Gulf access. So if you pinch off the Persian Gulf and the Red Sea, you can certainly cause the Saudis a lot of problems. You can cause everybody a lot of problems.
Right.
So that's not a good sign.
No,
the other thing that's happening is that the Iraqi parliament just legalized a bunch of Shiite militias.
Right.
Now, these are militias that are loyal to Iran. Now they are officially part of the Iraqi armed forces. It doesn't mean that they're loyal to Iraq, but they are part of the armed forces. That means that they get salaries, they get pensions, they get money. And these are forces. They're not just a ragtag group of people. There are about 100,000 of these fighters, and they've got tanks, they've got artillery, they've got heavy military equipment. So again, not a good sign. We do not like to see Iran making these types of advances. It may be that they're trying to get in to kind of place as many markers as they can, get things in place before Trump takes over and before whatever his national security team is going to be, which is not going to be as accommodating as the Obama administration.
Yeah, we can only hope so. But yeah, you're absolutely right. These are troubling developments for sure, because that would be a major escalation in the violence in the area. Another problem that Trump, of course, is going to inherit is Cuba. And just because Castro died, that doesn't, as Marco Rubio say, that didn't change anything from the day before, really, because the power structure had already been switched over. But do people in Israel care about Castro dying? Was he a big deal over there?
Well, Castro was an interesting character from a Jewish and an Israeli standpoint. Not a good one, don't get me wrong.
All right.
But this is somebody who, in terms of, from an Israeli perspective, this is somebody who, the Palestinians are flying their flags at half-mast. This is somebody who broke relations with Israel, who recognized the PLO in 1964 when they were founded. Now, think about that for a second.
Mm.
When the PLO was founded in 1964, there was no occupation. There were no Israelis on the West Bank. The liberation that they're talking about with Palestine Liberation Organization is the liberation of the state of Israel.
Right.
Is eliminating the state of Israel, and this is something that that Castro signed on to. And in fact, the the help crane the PLO terrorists in both in Jordan, and he had training camps in Cuba. And he, in 1974, I know he gave Yasser Arafat the Bay of Pigs Medal, which I guess in Cuba is like the highest honor that you're capable of getting. Then again, you know, when he wasn't, maybe oddly compared to the Soviets, he did not try to snuff out Judaism in Cuba. He actually allowed a kosher butcher to continue operating. I mean, the Jews got out of there when they could. There are 90% fewer now than there were in 1969. But they weren't harassed. They weren't prevented from being Jewish in the way they were in the Soviet Union. Now, that may just be that Castro and the Cubans didn't have a history, didn't have a cultural anti-Semitism built in the way that existed in Russia. But it's something that he, you know, he kind of let things slide quite a bit when it came to actual Jewish survival in Cuba. So, you know, all in all, if I'm giving him a grade, that means that his grade, instead of being an S, is an F plus. Can't dress up an S.
All right. All right.
You give him credit where it's due.
All right. We got to do that. And before I let you go, I got to ask you one more question. Erdogan in Turkey is making a bunch of noise. He's mad at the EU. Has he got a good argument?
Well, he's always been kind of playing both sides of everything. One day he's the Western world's best friend. The next day he's the Iranians' best friend. I don't know exactly if his interest lies in anything more than himself and maximizing Turkish power, or I really don't know what his game is. I know that even when he reconciled with Israel a little while ago, supposedly, and then I think the day they were exchanging ambassadors or something like that, he came out and said, "Well, you know, we don't like the Holocaust, and similarly, we don't like what Israel did with that flotilla." So, I mean, making these comparisons of Israel to the Nazis, and right. You know, it's. So he's always working out of both sides of his mouth.
All right. Okay. Well, Abe, we'll leave it there for tonight. You still going to be in Seattle next week?
Nope. I'll be back in Israel next week.
Okay. Well, you travel safely.
Yes, sir.
And we look forward to talking to you next week. And God bless you. And we'll be praying for you and, of course, the state of Israel.
Excellent. Thank you very, very much.
All right. God bless you. All right. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is Abe Katzman. You can find his work at his website, abekatzman.com, or at our website where we're linked up with him. You spell Katzman with an S, by the way. And, of course, you'll find his work all in the Jerusalem Post and other newspapers worldwide. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up this hour, but we got a whole nother hour to go. And don't forget, Larry Elder comes on at 7 o'clock. He's got a great show, too. So stick around. A lot of great radio right here tonight on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
Hi, I'm Scott Miller from MyLibertyThreads.com. I've developed an American-made t-shirt brand that helps conservative Americans express themselves. I've traveled the country extensively over the last 3 years, helping proud Americans everywhere get their points across. As friends of the American Adversaries program, we're offering promotion for all the listeners of this show. All you have to do is check out our website at MyLibertyThreads.com and enter promo code AAR2014 on any purchase you make, and you'll save $3. That's $3 just by entering AAR2014. All caps. That's MyLibertyThreads.com. And remember, American-made t-shirts just feel better.
Support Legal Immigrants for America today as we promote legal immigration all across the USA. Fight amnesty and illegal immigration. Buy our book, The Bible and Immigration, at golifa.com. That's G-O-L-I-F-A.com. Support Legal Immigrants for America today at golifa.com and help us impact Congress, the White House, and the nation.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080. The most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
What's it like on I-4? We've got the answer. Traffic you can trust. Answer traffic now.
I-4 eastbound, we're still dealing with a disabled vehicle at Amelia Street. You're heavy back to Conroy on that one. You're also slow Lee Road to Maitland and 436 to Lake Mary. Westbound on the brakes from Ivanhoe to Michigan. John Young Parkway to the Turnpike and Pass World Drive. Beach Line eastbound from I-4 to John Young Parkway and slow from Jetport Drive to the 417. 408 eastbound, John Young Parkway to I-4. At the 417, you're slow. Westbound delays Pine Hills to Hiawassee. I'm Nick Dolan, FM 105.5 at AM 660. The answer.
I'm separated.
All right, welcome back to the show. That's right, folks. We are the American Adversaries. We separate fact from fiction, truth from lies, and myth from reality. Aubrey Kahn in the studio with me. Aubrey?
That's right. And when you talk about keep them separate, I thought you were talking about the egg whites and the yolks. But never mind.
You, an old restaurant guy, would know that. All right. We, of course, get a lot of help around here from great folks like Abe Katzman, Colonel Danny McKnight, who's going to be on the show with us tomorrow night. You'll definitely want to tune in for that. Yep. And also get help from our listeners out there. Got this from Sharon when I was talking. I was trying to remember a little while ago who played Ahab in the movie. I think I said Mitchum. It was Gregory Peck who played it, and he played a good, it was a great part too. I mean, he really got, you know, he really was Ahab. And got this from Carl in regards to Donald McGahn, who's the guy who Trump picked to be his White House counsel. He was his campaign counsel.
Right.
And he's got great credentials. Carl did a little work for him to prep for his appearance on Fox. I hope some of you caught him this morning. He was on Fox this morning, Fox 35. And he says his knowledge of election and government ethics law is impeccable. He worked under Bush 41, that's H.W. Bush, and a bunch of others. And he also has been in the lead of the fight to deregulate campaign finance. So sounds like an excellent pick to be the White House counsel. Trump once again is wrapping up another day of interviews back at Trump Towers. And there's been, you know, some controversy over this Secretary of State, is it going to be Romney or not? And Kellyanne Conway was on the morning talk shows yesterday morning talking about how she's getting a lot of flack
from
a lot of you folks, yeah, out there, social media, who are not pleased at all that Trump is even considering Romney.
And Romney was back there for a second interview today.
Was he?
Yeah.
And personally, I think Romney would be great as the head of the Veterans Affairs. That is something I think he could really be good at. You know, he saved the Olympics, and it's sort of a similar situation. You got a bunch of incompetent people and an organization that really just needs to be turned upside down.
Yeah, I could also see him as Commerce Secretary.
Perhaps, yeah. I kind of don't think he, yeah, I don't know. I think, as I said before, Trump is going to pick the person he thinks that can do the best job for him, and he's not going to care much about anything else, I don't think. But having said that, I don't think that person is Mitt Romney for Secretary of State.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah, I think either Giuliani or David Petraeus, or certainly John Bolton.
I'd like John Bolton.
Could do a much better job.
He did an amazing job in the U.N.
Yeah. The first and foremost thing the next Secretary of State has to bring to the table is respect for the United States, not from that person, but I mean from people around the world.
And I think Giuliani can do that because he knows politicians. He's been to other countries. He's been a he fixed the New York.
He's just got a lot of respect around the world,
well, right.
and that would immediately translate into respect, I believe, for the United States of America. Okay, before we take a break, I want to remind you that you are invited, if you like to play golf, even if you don't, to come out to the Sudden Sam McDowell Celebrity Golf Tournament. It's going to be December the 9th and the 10th, so that's 1 week from Friday, because this Friday is December the 2nd. Can you believe that December is almost here already?
Don't remind me.
December the 9th and the 10th at the Orange Lake Golf Course and Country Club down in Aubrey's
in
neck of the woods.
Yeah.
Beautiful course, beautiful country club down there.
Stunning.
Yeah, and it's a great deal. For one low price, you will be everything will be paid for the Friday evening pairing party, which will be 7 to 9 p.m. Friday, December the 9th. And then golf starts at 9 a.m. the next morning on December the 10th. That's Saturday. And if you are a vet and if you mention the American Adversaries, you can play for $75, and that pays for everything. Friday night and all day Saturday, you'll get breakfast and lunch on the course.
I was going to say, don't they get fed too?
Awards, yeah, fed.
Oh, yeah.
Food. Drink, you name it. And if you're not a vet and you mention the American Adversaries, you can play for $100. The regular price is $125 if you just want to go ahead and pay the full board price. And you might want to do that because all the proceeds go to benefit Operation Renewed Hope Foundation. They are working tirelessly to end veteran homelessness. And if you'd like to play, call Charlie Hagee at 850-259-6334. That's Charlie Hagee, 850-259-6334. Or if you didn't get that phone number, just call the call-in number, give your information to Nicholas Cicero, and we'll pass it on to Charlie Hagee. And speaking of passing on, we got to pass it on to the break, but we'll be back on the other side.
Ladies and gentlemen, step it right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on a road.
To the show, or welcome to the show if you are just now able to tune us in. In either case, we love you for being out there listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show as we once again come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. All right, we've got an addition to the studio hosts tonight. I got Aubrey Kahn in the driver's seat. What I call the driver's seat is actually the quote-unquote host's chair because he has buttons he can push.
Yeah, and I'm the driver's seat because I drive everyone crazy.
Yeah, I believe that. I am Christopher Hart, and John Barros has joined us. And John, of course, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know he's in here about every other Monday, I should say. And he is a sidewalk counselor, and he's responsible for a lot of people being alive in this world who would not otherwise be so, because he has been the Lord's conduit, if you will, to get his message across to women who are considering having abortions. John, good to see you again, as always.
Same here, guys.
All right. How was Thanksgiving for you?
Look at this.
Between you and Aubrey, I tell you what.
We look like men.
It's awful. My wife's such a good cook.
Yeah. All right. And you got a great family, too. I had the opportunity to meet John's family at Cafe Positano as he was cashing in his winning chip there for the spaghetti eating contest. All right, we got a lot to talk about here tonight. We're going to try to get to it all and hope you'll stick with us through it. And, of course, you can be a part of the conversation. All you have to do is call us at 407-774-8255. Nick LoCicero is on the bridge once again, and he'd be happy to patch your phone call through to us. We'd be happy to converse with you. All right, just a couple of quick updates here. The attacker this morning at Ohio State University appears to have been a terrorist attacker. This was an 18-year-old Somali-born immigrant to the United States. He was here legally. He was What was the actual documentation he was here on?
The a green card.
A green card.
Permanent, basically permanent resident status.
Right. Not a citizen, but permanent resident status. We don't know when he came here from Somalia. 18 years old. He had a real long name. I'm going to shorten it down to Abdul Ali Rahan. And what Abdul Ali Rahan did this morning was drive his car up on a sidewalk at the university there and ran over several people. And then hopped out of the car and used what is described as a butcher knife to start hacking at people and cutting them, and sent 9 people in total to the hospital. 1 person is in critical condition. The rest of them are in stable condition, but it's only by the grace of God that Rahan is the only one dead. And the reason he is dead is because a police officer with a gun was responding to a separate call and happened to be right there when the incident began to throw down, and he ended it. And so once again, it's the notion of a good guy with a gun shows up and stops the violence. In this case, it was not gun violence, but it was an act of terrorism. But look for the media to ignore that fact, and in fact, probably after tonight, ignore the story altogether.
Well, and then don't forget the liberals are going to say that the police use excessive force.
No, if the story lingers, that will be the angle that they will take, no doubt about that. But, of course, this is the kind of thing that we watch out for here and we reveal here and talk about here in its full detail, if you will. And Donald Trump hopefully is going to put in – certainly you can't end this overnight, but begin to put the brakes on this sort of thing as we begin to be more discriminate about who we let into this country. And as I talked about during the first part of the show – these Somalis have been coming here for quite some time. This is not part of the Obama influx of refugees, if you will. The Somalis have been coming here since 1993, 94, when Colonel Danny McKnight was over there with his Rangers in the mission now known as Black Hawk Down. So this is nothing new, but it is something that has been going on sort of under the radar that we now need to have first and foremost on the radar and actually do something about it. And, well, we got the ball rolling by electing Donald Trump, and he is putting in place people in his advisory council, if you will, people who are well aware of the situation and the reality of the problem, and in particular this extremist Islamic threat. An 18-year-old kid from Somalia is now dead because he committed a terrorist attack. That's a real problem there, and we can no longer choose to deny it. And as I said, we've elected someone who will not any longer deny it. All this falderol, to change the subject, over the recount is just a bunch of, you know, as my dad. Mm-hmm. That's what my dad used to say.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that. How did you know that?
We're about the same age.
My dad used to call stuff like that a bunch of hooey, and that's all it is. It's not going to change the outcome of the election. As I said for a long time now, Donald Trump is Moby Dick, and all of these detractors are just a bunch of Ahabs, a bunch of Gregory Pecks, if you will. And they're going to end up with the same fate. They'll be tied to the whale, but he'll be swimming along gloriously as they are drowned in the process, right? And they don't seem to learn. Some people just aren't very quick learners, right? It just takes them over and over and over again before they figure it. And some never get it.
We're talking about Hillary now?
No, I'm talking about, well, yeah. I'm talking mostly about the media.
Oh, six and one, half a dozen the other, right?
Right. And Jill Stein is just trying to remain relevant. It's interesting to see how all these people are struggling now just to maintain some degree of relevance out there. But this, as I said, this recount business is just a bunch of nonsense. Trump is basically trying to turn the argument around on them. By saying, you know, he would have also won the popular vote if it weren't for the 3 million or so
illegals.
And by the way, he did not. The media is blaming him for just coming up with this number. You know,
it was the media that came up with that number.
Indeed, that's right. It first broke, I believe, on Drudge, and then other media outlets began to pick up on it as well.
And wasn't there enough video evidence to show them transporting illegals from voting place to voting place to go and cast ballots?
There's certainly been instances of fraud that have been caught, that have been detected, if you will. The question is, were there 3 million of those instances? And that we don't know. We do know, however, that a lot of illegals did vote, and not necessarily because they thought they were breaking the law. Because in California, when they get a driver's license, they're automatically registered to vote. Right?
That's the motor voter rule.
Yeah, and if you're registered to vote, why not take advantage of it? And then, of course, we told you on the show last week about the guy here in Florida, and this was in the Orlando, reported in the Orlando Sentinel. He's a felon who voted with a mail-in ballot from jail.
From jail. But, you know, the only thing that you ever see the media blow up about, they found one Republican college kid that voted twice. And there's a huge hullabaloo about it.
Well, better have a recount of Wisconsin because of that, right?
Oh, yeah.
So there'll be a bunch of money and time wasted in Wisconsin for this recount, which won't make any difference. And Donald Trump, as I said earlier today, has been finally, and we called this on election night, but finally has been awarded Michigan. And the 16 electoral college votes from Michigan, which gives him a total now of 306, which we've been telling you that for a while, too. The numbers, you just can't argue with the numbers. And they're good and they're solid, and Donald Trump is and will be the 45th president of the United States, inaugurated on January the 20th. You can count on that. Who's going to be Secretary of State? That's anybody's guess right now. David Petraeus was at Trump Towers today, and Mitt Romney,
yep,
was back for a second trip today. Doesn't necessarily mean that either one of them is going to get the nod, but somebody will. And, of course, as soon as we know, we'll let you know about that. And the Castro thing, it's interesting because when he first, you know, the first news was breaking, you're getting all these sort of gushing, he was the George Washington of Cuba and all this other nonsense. The guy was a murderous dictator who set up a murderous dictatorial regime that has survived him and will continue to inflict punishment and pain on the people of Cuba, all in the name of justice. And, of course, they will get very little of that and very little of anything else as well.
Well, Raul was a good understudy of Fidel.
Well, not only that, but, I mean, when he's gone, too, there'll be somebody to step in their place.
Always.
And Barack Obama has done what he can do to entrench that regime down there. Donald Trump has promised in his reaction to the death of Castro to reverse what
he said he's going to do
what Obama has done. So if you want to fly to Cuba, you might want to, or take
hurry
a cruise
up
down there. You may want to hurry on up and skedaddle on down there. All right. Drudge, by the way, did change their number from 3 million. And so there's a lot of speculation about that out there. 3 million does sound kind of high, but nonetheless, it doesn't matter. The election is over. It is decided. And the final tally, I mean, obviously we want to root out fraud and know where it is and when it's being happening so we can prevent it, preferably in the future. But in terms of this election, it is a done deal. Okay, all of that being said, let me get over here to John Barros John, real quickly, what about the owner, this Pendergraft guy that owns that clinic? Is it a done deal? Is he going to go to jail, or what's the deal with that? Do we know yet?
No, he's pretty slithery. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know this. If the people out there don't know that he was found guilty of destroying a young lady and fined $36 million. And then they picked him up in South Carolina and arrested him and indicted him 6 weeks ago for manufacturing and sales of dangerous drugs. And he's going to trial on the 23rd of January on that. Now, he's already been a convicted felon and spent time in prison. I really don't know what's going to happen. I know that the state of Florida has put in the paperwork to pull their operating license. They already have his medical license. So I really don't know where it's going to go, but it continues. The war continues.
Wasn't he the abortion doctor that was also caught with abortion tools in his vehicle that had been used?
Yeah, that was part of the in fact, the sheriff in his news conference said that he can't believe that somebody like this even exists when they were done with their arrest. They found a bag of baby tool with or abortion tools with pieces of babies on them, and they're building a case against him now for doing back alley illegal abortions without a license in the back of a beat-up old van.
And why does this have any bearing on what you do?
Well, because he owns the clinic that I go minister at every day.
And according to state law, if he's convicted, then they would have to close that clinic down, or he would have to transfer full ownership or any ownership away.
Well, he's stuck in a mix because he cannot transfer ownership. He cannot do anything with anything because he owes $36 million. And until all of that is done, nothing can change.
Okay. All right. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation here tonight with John Barrows, find out some of the good news that he's been seeing down there recently. And if you have any questions or comments, please give us a call. 407-774-8255 is the number. Don't forget you're listening to The American Adversaries Now. Larry Elder is coming up next. So stick around. A lot of great radio right here tonight on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
If you drive a Mercedes-Benz, then you need to know Jerry Shepard. Jerry and his wife, Jana, own and operate Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service, a state-of-the-art service center located on Econ Circle, just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. Because you drive a Mercedes-Benz, you obviously care about quality workmanship. That's what you get at Jerry's. Whether you need regular maintenance work or an emergency repair, Jerry's is the place to take your Mercedes. Jerry offers the best service at the best price. Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service is truly the dealership alternative. And if you're in the market to buy a pre-owned Mercedes, take it to Jerry's for a free evaluation. They'll look it over top to bottom and arm you with the info you'll need to get the best deal. So call Jerry's at 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Or visit them at jerrysmb.com. Remember, Jerry's is the dealership alternative, and they're also a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries radio show. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Dino Rentos Studios as a new sponsor of the American Adversaries radio show. At Dino Rentos Studios, they custom manufacture displays, props for events, parties, trade shows, retailers. They can make just about anything for just about anybody. That's right. DinoRentosStudios.com is the website. You spell Rentos, R-E-N-T-O-S. Dino Rentos Studios. The phone number is 800-704-7089. Want to decorate a party for that special grandchild or child? Want to decorate a party for an office party? They can do it at Dino Rentos Studios, and they can do it within your budget. Dino Rentos Studios, that's where they make just about anything, and if they can't make it, nobody can. That's DinoRentosStudios.com, 800-704-7089.
Hi, I'm Kat. Kathy Santamassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner, you need to protect your business from accidents, property damage, substance abuse, and theft. I can help you lower your risk and get an insurance discount with a program that is effective and affordable. Don't be caught with your guard down. Please call me today for a free assessment at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You know, John Burroughs is, in my eyes anyway, he's a hero. I don't know many people that are prepared to stand outside an abortion clinic in the heat of the day or when it's raining or sunny.
Cold.
And minister to people, telling them and sharing the love of Christ and convincing them not to murder the unborn child within them.
And it's not an easy thing to do, too. I mean, just physically speaking, you pretty much have to stand in one place, don't you?
Well, there's a wonderful doctor next door that allows me to use his facilities. And there's a little pony wall that about as high as this.
Desk.
And he allows us to sit on there and use his restroom and all that. He's just a wonderful guy. He sees himself as this is what he's supposed to do. In fact, one day his priest came down and said, and I met him, and he was doing his rosary, and then Dr. Collins came out to see his priest, and his priest commented on how good it was of him to allow me to use that wall and use the place there. And Dr. Collins told his priest, he said, you know, my father and I bought this years and years ago, because we were close to RMC, and it's just a great location. It wasn't expensive. But the longer I lived, the more I realized that God had me buy this for John.
How about that?
And he meant it. He's really an unbelievable man. He really, really is.
Well, so are you too, my friend. So you've been down there how many years now again?
Well, I started going 13 years ago, but I've been there every day for the last 7.
You were telling Aubrey and I about sort of your weird week last week with Thanksgiving and all down there.
It was so hard because you know that the opposite of everything that Thanksgiving stands for is going on there, the very absolute opposite of it. You know, if you ever read President Lincoln's proclamation, Thanksgiving proclamation, and you see about how it's all focused towards God for our country to be thankful for that. And when you see people coming there, and it was so busy, it was unbelievable to me that, you know, on the day before Thanksgiving and then on Good Friday, that people were there to do that. And then the oddest thing of all, which sometimes everything time kind of stops, but the oddest thing of all was they were having a party, the workers. It was catered by a van pulled in from a local popular restaurant and brought in all the food and everything. And you could hear them all laughing and joking in the downstairs, and you could hear them partying in the back out in the parking lot. And yet at the same time, there's about 15 girls upstairs, the floor above, waiting for an 83-year-old man that's been drug out those doors twice in handcuffs and arrested for battery to kill their babies. And while this is going on, the big truck pulls up out front, and they take 2 huge boxes of dead babies and throw them on the truck. And that was the day before Thanksgiving. I mean, it was just so bizarre.
Yeah, that's what goes on down there on a weekly basis, evidently. You know, it's a bizarre, you know, confluence of realities, if you will. John, by the way, has a website. It's whowillstand.net, whowillstand.net, and I suggest you visit it when it's not being hacked. It's an interesting website, and it has a video on there And I know we haven't talked about it for a while, but just describe real quickly what the video is about.
Well, there was the Leclerc brothers. They are filmmakers from Wisconsin, although Philip has moved to California now. But they did a lot of upscale films and a lot of advertising too, like Johnsonville products and all that when they were in Wisconsin. But they had heard about the ministry down there, so they came down. They wanted to come. I kept saying no. And one day my pastor, R.C. Sproul, and my wife said, they're going to come. So they came. Can't argue with either of them, much less
not.
Both of them.
Yeah.
But so they came, and they spent a week down there videoing and filming as part of a bigger deal that they're going to do that I can't talk about. But out of the middle of that, they sent a little 8-minute video. It's called Who Will Stand? And if you type into Google Who Will Stand, that's what will show up. I think it's at the top. It's the first thing you'll see. A little 8-minute video on the ministry down there and how God works in people's hearts and just the beauty that he brings out of such a dark place.
And when we come back from the break, I'm going to have John give you one of those beautiful stories that he's witnessed down there. And by the way, if you're downtown during the day, during the week, even some weekends, right?
I'm there Sunday through Friday.
Sunday through Friday, just like our radio show.
It's 1103 Lucerne Terrace. It's on Lucerne Terrace between Gore and Columbia.
And he likes Dunkin' Donuts coffee, large cream only, right?
Yes, sir.
And so please do stop by and bring him a coffee. Just give him a word of encouragement.
I find him across the road from the prison at the gas station filling up coffee.
Yeah, I told him last time he was on the show that you ran into him down there because you were down there to bail me out.
I'm up in line to get a coffee, and I hear this voice behind me. His money is no good in this place.
Yeah, his money is
Aubrey
not good
me a copy.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, Aubrey has bailed me out on a number of occasions, but never
not from jail.
Not from jail.
Not
That's
yet.
Right. Hopefully never. All right. But hopefully you will be sticking around with us because we will be right.
Hi, this is Roxy Astor from Glow, one of the Park Avenue knockouts. When I'm not shopping or getting my nails done, I listen to the American Adversaries on AM 660, The Answer, WORL. These guys are the best when it comes to political professional wrestling. I'd step in the ring any day with these guys, but of course I'd win.
Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. I hope you feel like a winner for listening to the American Adversaries. We're here until 7 o'clock. Then you got Larry Elder going to follow us up with some more great live radio here tonight. Also, you can call us at 407-774-8255. And, you know, you just heard the commercial, I hope, for Orlando's Home Inspector. Of course, that'd be Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspection, who had a very special Thanksgiving weekend to celebrate, because it was also his birthday. Happy birthday to you. I'm only sad that Mike McBath isn't here to sing his happy birthday.
I am so glad.
Happy birthday, Aubrey Kahn.
Thank you very much.
All right, that is Aubrey Kahn. I am Christopher Hart. We have John Barrows in the studio with us also here tonight. And if you have any questions or comments, 407-774-8255 is the number. And John showed me a list of the cornucopia of drugs and things that this Pendergraft guy was caught with up there. Everything from marijuana to cocaine, heroin, methamphetamine. He had a little bit of everything. And I guess he was your go-to guy if you had a fix or something you need, right?
Right. I mean, he can't get the money out of there that he used to be able to. Because, you know, he was living a pretty high-style life, I imagine. But when you have a $36 million judgment against you, and you know that attorneys that have won a case like that are not going to let up, not
right.
for a second. So he's had to find other ways to make money. And that was one that he chose, I guess. He's a pretty arrogant guy. He always thinks he can win everything because he has won a lot of things. So, I mean, even to open their another abortion clinic for them. There was a group of ladies that had gone to the city to try and have them not be able to get their license to open this one over here.
They opposed it, yeah.
And the city went along with them. So then he sued the city, and he won because, you know, you can't stop somebody from doing something like that. So then they got enough money to start another abortion clinic, and he just thinks that he can beat everything. But one day, you know,
he's of the Clinton mold, I guess, right?
I imagine
you get away with it long enough, you figure you always get away with it. Tell us a good news story from down there.
Well, you know, all of them aren't easy. All of them aren't good. I've been in touch with a girl today and yesterday and last night, and I have a worker from our some of the ladies from our church that are involved in one of their lives. Yesterday on Sunday, there was a bunch of people that came for abortions. It wasn't that many, but there was still enough. It was, you know, they were here, and but there was two ladies there. One young lady named Donna, she came and she got an hour early. She got there an hour early. So I began to talk to her and told her that God, it was not accidental that she was there an hour early and all of this. And I led into, you know, God has sent me down here to speak to you, to tell you he wants you to trust him and that he'll take care of everything. And that over the years, I've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of girls choose life. He's never let one down. But she was still bullheaded. She was very strongly, you know, couldn't see her way through not doing this. But then all of a sudden, God worked on her heart. She began to cry, and she said, "Could you please take me home? I can't kill my baby." So I took her home, which, by the way, there are parts of this city that are extremely poor and extremely not unsafe, I would say.
Right.
And this happened to be one of those areas where I took her. I could certainly understand how she would not see, you know, any hope or help.
Right.
Just based upon if she just looked around her and just saw where she was living and all that. But I prayed with her again and then dropped her off. I went back to the clinic, and then sadly she came back about an hour later. And just as I was leaving to go to church, but I had some friends that were staying. But I had her number, so I was texting her, and she was inside. And then she got really upset, and she texted and said, "I'm really upset. I can't do this, and they're not going to let me do it anyway because I'm too upset." And I said, "Okay." So she went home, and I texted her the rest of the day, and then today I texted her, told her I was praying for her, and these ladies have gotten a hold of her now. And now she's calmed down, and it looks. But we always have to pray for these girls, and we have to get involved in a physical way. We have to take care of their needs. We can't just tell people, "Look, come out of here. You can't do this," and then not be willing to
help them out.
To help them. I mean, if we're to love our neighbors, then we're not just supposed to go down somewhere and be mean or something. We need to have tangible things that we can do to help them. And so we have ladies that are right now getting on that. We have deacons in our church as well that and other people that look up to see just exactly what we can do on a case-by-case basis. They're all different. But she came out. She trusted God. She's unable to go back. I've texted. She can't. She doesn't want to do it, but at the same time, she still doesn't see what she can do. But those are the realities of this kind of ministry. You get the ones where they come out, and God has opened their eyes, and they have tears of joy, and they're hugging you, and they're just so thankful you were there. You get that. But then also, you've got all these messy, messy, messy lives that these people are involved in. Anything from drug abuse to, any kind of thing. that you can imagine, homelessness, anything. But you know, it's hard that way, but it's also very beautiful. I mean, I know a girl that chose life, had five kids, and she was homeless with a guy that was beating her, a heroin addict, and God completely turned her life upside down. Beautiful little five-year-old girl named Victoria now. So God is not limited. God will work at anything. And that day, that same time when I was preaching, because I preach into the building as well, a rather wealthy couple came out as well, and she said, "Nope, I'm not doing this." And she, anyway, to make a long story short, they left as well. Again, they're not, neither of, both of these are the kind of thing that when I post on Facebook for my friends to pray, I try to explain these things and still leave anonymity in there somehow. But
right.
As to what the needs are, but to please pray. And I'll tell you, we've seen the most amazing things that God has done.
And your Facebook page is?
John Barros, B-A-R-R-O-S.
Yep, and two R's, John Barros, on Facebook. And we're linked to him, of course, at our website, AmericanAdversaries.com. And whowillstand.net is his website. And it's tough. I mean, it's not easy. As I said earlier, physically speaking, but also emotionally and spiritually, it's a tough. You're in a fight every day, literally.
And it's always so different. I think when I was here last time, I told you the story about it was the day after the election,
yeah,
that a girl came out. And, well, I'll just tell it in case you didn't hear it. But a young Hispanic girl came out when I was preaching, and she came over, and I said, "Look, young lady, we can help you. We truly can. There's nothing we can't do to help you." And she, we talked, we prayed, we did all the things we do. And then she put her arms around me, and she started crying, and she said, "I prayed last night that God would send somebody to stop me." And that day blew my mind so much because I thought to myself, you know, here we just got a new president. God placed in power, according to Daniel chapter 2, Donald Trump, and that we're going to, and that the whole world is going to change one way or another. If you like it, you don't like it. Whatever happens, happens. But there is change coming. And God, that night, placed all this happening. All these congressmen, these senators, these bills, all of this thing. But one precious little girl prayed for God to send somebody to stop her. And he lowered his ear to her. I mean, that is the God we serve.
Yep. That's right, and it's as I say, it's the power of prayer is definitely there, and
couldn't do it without it.
Yeah, and so you folks out there, once again, please pray for John, and pray for these women. Like, who was the one, Donna? You said
Donna, yes,
yeah,
especially she's in real need.
Yeah, tonight. So don't dally. And, of course, you can pray for John all the time and for what he's doing down there and for others like him, and because they are making a difference. And, as I said, it's a fight. It's a struggle every day, literally. The man has to, you know, endure people shouting at him, calling him names, threatening him, spitting on him, you know. So it's tough, but at the end of the day, obviously, it can be very rewarding, too, when you see God change someone's heart like that.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah. So, whowillstand.net, John Barros on Facebook. Please do visit with him. And, of course, as I said, you can visit with him downtown down there as well. And he will still be there, thank goodness. Donald Trump being elected obviously doesn't make your job any easier. But at least, thank God, it's not going to make it harder for you either, right?
I hope so.
Yeah. And, of course, we were looking at the opposite, should Hillary Clinton have gotten elected.
Yes, sir.
So, once again, John does great work down there, and it is the Lord's work. So, and it's not just anybody can do this. I mean, it takes a special kind of person. And the perseverance and just the dogged determination is rare. It's not a common trait anymore.
No, but you know, I did when God called me there. I really didn't know how any of this was going to happen at all. None, and there wasn't anybody that had. I considered that I was adopting this place,
right?
And that I would be there whenever they were open, and. And so for the first 3 years, I really didn't get much of any kind of help at all. But then, since then, I mean, God has given me a church that is absolutely unbelievably behind this to help this, to change people's lives.
And that's St. Andrews.
St. Andrews Chapel in Sanford. R.C. Sproul, my pastor, and Burke Parsons, my pastor, both of them are fully behind this. They support three different pregnancy centers. They're behind adoption. We have help also in our church for girls that are post-abortive that have had abortions, that are dealing with the trauma that goes on with that over the years. And
with both the physical and psychological.
Oh, yeah, tons of it. And those are the things people don't really think about. But no, I got that church, and then Reformation Bible College students come down and help. There's other churches in the area that are coming down and helping, and people from them. And, you know, it's when I first started there, I used to try and schedule people to come, and then I would get so upset because they'd say, I'm going to be there Monday at 9 or something like that, and then they don't show, and then it ruins your whole day. So I just prayed, Lord, please, you schedule this. And I never know from day to day who's going to show up. And like today, it was just myself and a precious lady named Marcia DeVore from Orlando Grace Baptist Church. It was just a beautiful time of fellowship and ministering to these ladies. Today we had a mother become a mother and get her daughter out of this place. And it was beautiful. Her daughter, God turned her daughter's heart, but the mom was angry. But then God turned the mother's heart, and it was a beautiful thing to see. Then we had three turnaways that we don't know why. I mean, they came out with tears and that kind of thing, but we don't call those somebody choosing life. We just call them turnaways.
And by the way, True Life Choice is another great organization who helps John out because they provide free sonograms and other prenatal care.
3D ones.
3D.
All free, yeah.
All right. And True Life Choice is just getting ready to move into their new digs over there on West Colonial Drive.
Yep.
So you can also help out True Life Choice. You can be a volunteer there. Of course, you can help out with donations as well.
And they need volunteers.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah, they're going to, yeah, especially since they're expanding into this new building. Mm-hmm. So, okay, and we'll take a break now, and when we come back, we'll wrap up today's show. Don't forget, tomorrow, Colonel Danny McKnight is going to be in on the show with us, so that'll be a very interesting show, no doubt, and we'll be right on top of the latest breaking news as well. You are listening to the American Adversaries. Please stay with us.
Everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080, the most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
Here from Vacation Travel Planners, a member of Cruise Planners, with the latest vacation deals.
Like Bahama Cruises from $319 per person. How about an Alaska 7-night cruise from $399
$9.99 per person. Sandals and Beaches are offering savings up to 65% off. America Waterways has river cruises, onboard credits on special sailing dates. Fathom Cruises, Dominican Republic 2016 cruises from $4.99 inside cabins and balconies starting at $6.99 per person. Or how about a cruise to Cuba starting at $7.99 for 7 nights for Florida residents? Give us a call at 321-251-4777. That's 321-251-4777. Or visit us at vacationtravelplanners.com. Keep listening to the American Adversaries for new travel specials every week. Bon voyage!
Welcome back to the American Adversaries. Got Aubrey Kahn in the studio with me, Christopher Hart, and John Barros is with us tonight. WhoWillStand.net is John's website. John Barros, that's with two R's, on Facebook. And please go there and visit him and post up some nice comments there. And, of course, we're linked to him on our website, AmericanAdversaries.com. Okay, real quick before we move on, you were talking about how there's sort of a different feel down there as people are driving by.
There is, since the election.
Yeah.
There's a lot more people that are vocally or figuratively encouraging.
Yeah.
It's funny. I've had a few people since the election say that they heard me on the radio and that they just drive by. They didn't get out. They were petrified to get out of their car, but they you know, were just talking about that. And then I've noticed that a lot more older people are coming by, and they'll, like today there was this little lady, and man, she had to be in her 90s, I swear. It was like her face would just go over the window,
right,
where the window goes,
yeah.
And she gives a little toot and she gives a thumbs up, and it was so awesome. So yeah, I mean, there seems to be more people that are not quite as afraid to speak out or be part of,
show their support.
So yeah, of the since the election.
Yeah, and you know, we've been hearing that in phone calls too. You know, just people's attitudes have changed virtually overnight. We hear things like, you know, burden lifted off my shoulders, you know, just feel much better about things, more positive outlook. And it's just everybody's ready for this country to move back, if you will, in the direction that it was known to be. And that is, you know, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, and that our rights come from our Creator. All of our rights, and for all of us, they come from our Creator, and that include the unborn. And that just people feel better about the direction that this country now at least has the opportunity to move in. And I think you're just seeing signs of that down there. You know, people, their spirits have been lifted, and their spines have been steeled, so to speak.
It's funny, because people are funny. If a cause is moving along, they'll get on board it. If they don't agree with that cause, they'll just kind of shirk back and don't say anything. But like when Obama was, it was like there weren't that many Republicans going to say anything,
right,
until Donald Trump arrived, and in his brash, strong,
bombastic way of
speaking,
yep,
it's like he pulled people out from a slumber somehow.
Yeah.
And it's kind of amazing, really.
Yeah, he said it's okay. Basically said it's okay to think America is great.
Right.
It's okay to be pro-life.
To hold to our values, historical values.
Exactly. It's okay to want the border secured. It's okay to do these things, you see, which we had been told directly by the liberals and indirectly by conservatives that it wasn't okay to do these things, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And he has changed, and people always felt that that was wrong,
mm-hmm,
that it should be okay for America, you know, USA number one, that type thing. Be proud of our country. Want our country to have sovereign borders. Want our country to be the example for the world. And he said, yeah, it's okay to do that again. And that's sort of, Reagan did that, if you remember, right? When Reagan came along and Carter, it was a change of attitude.
That's right.
And as much as anything else, that attitude led to great things because people were willing to go out and do things they hadn't done before, right, Aubrey?
That was a bit before my time, but yes. I wasn't here back then.
You weren't here during the Reagan years?
Unfortunately, no. I would have loved to have been.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I believe we're getting ready to experience something very similar, maybe even better.
Explosive growth.
Yes.
Be good.
Yeah, indeed. In an odd sort of way, Obama has set the stage for huge economic growth.
Well, you know, it's not going to be too difficult to double or triple it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, that's for sure. But there is a new attitude. There is a new feeling out there, and it's showing up in a lot of different ways. Even the little old lady's giving you the thumbs up, right?
Mm-hmm. It's the new hope and change.
It is indeed. It is indeed. So it's a pleasure to experience it. But as I said earlier, and as I've said before, we're going to have to fight for it. We're going to have to fight to keep it. We're going to have to fight for the momentum to go forward, to bring about the changes, the corrections, if you will. And it's an never-ending duel. But, you know, a dear friend of mine sends me a thought every morning. And this morning's thought was, if I can't get it up here real quick, I'll paraphrase it. It was, you know, don't fear for the fight, because the fight is not yours. The fight is God's.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's God's fight. We're just sort of soldiers in this battle,
that's correct,
if you will, and so there is really nothing for us to fear in that sense, because we are fighting for God, and if you're on God's side, I mean, you're everything's taken care of, so to speak, and so, but it is an ongoing battle, and it will never end, but that's why we have to be willing to fight it every day. And take joy in the battle, because once again, we know we're on God's side. And if you're on the side of God, then no foe is you know, worthy of defeating you. And once again, keep praying. Keep praying for John and his ministry and other people like him and their ministries. And this girl, Donna, tonight, please include her in your prayers. And once again, if you're downtown there around Lucerne Circle.
Terrace.
Lucerne Terrace. I'm sorry, Lucerne Terrace. Give John, at least give him the thumbs up, okay? And if you don't want to stop and get out of your car, at least shout at him and say, hey, we appreciate you and love hearing you on the radio. And if you do get a chance to get out of your car, just go on and stand with him a little while and pray with him.
He loves his coffee with cream, but don't throw any at him.
Yeah, please do not do that. All right, and don't forget, whowillstand.net is his website, and John Barros on Facebook. And please visit our website as well, American Adversaries. We have a lot of great stuff there. Our Facebook page, a lot of great new stuff put up every day. Kathy Santomassino is really keeping that thing fresh. And so please check us out on Facebook at American Adversaries. That's going to about wrap it up for us tonight. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Colonel Danny McKnight will be on the show with us. Larry Elder is coming up next. And don't forget, every day right here, lots of great live radio on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer. We will be back tomorrow night, and I hope you'll be with us. Night, everybody.
Good night.